We are on the top of Hey Amid Aleph. And again, it's a related story to the Gemara that we've been dealing with from the bottom, from the middle of Dalet and Mabez, related to the Makiv and Nidikov. We discussed a little bit yesterday, I guess the broader strokes in terms of trying to figure out what the general Mechayiv is. But now, the Gemara tells the following story. Runya is going to be the subject of this story and the next story. Runya, Akfe Ravina Me Arba Ruchoso. Runya was surrounded by Ravina. Again, it's a funny way of writing it. Some people probably initially understood it the opposite, but it's very clear from the story. And then Rashi, in case we're not sure, spells it out explicitly, that Ravina surrounded Runya on four sides. Right? Rashi says, Runya Akfe Ravina. It's probably why Rashi says something, because the language is a little hard to interpret. Could probably go in either way. Dalit Sados Hayu Ravina Sevivos Arba'a Mitzarav Shel Runya V'Gadran. So Ravina surrounds Runya on all sides, and he put up fences. Okay, very nice. Amar Lei, so Ravina says to Runya, Habali Kimad Gadri, give me according to what I paid. Rashi says, Habli Kimad Gadri, Kiravuna Libad Rabbi Yosi, Damra Kolofi Masha Gadar, the Haki Kaimon, Kidmuchach Kaimon. He held that the halacha was like Rav Huna, according to Rav Yossi, which again was the most, I guess, machmir in that sense opinion, right? The biggest mechayiv of the nikuf, that the nikuf is going to have to pay, just give in the bills from the makif, and you got to split it 50-50. Split it 50-50. Give me the money. Lo yahivlei. He didn't give it to him. Havli lefei demei kanim bezol. Give me according to the lowest price of kanim. Lo yoivlei. And Runya still did not give it to him. Havli agar nitirusa. Give me the cost that it would be to have a shomer there. Lo yoivlei. And he didn't give it to him. Runya was not the ideal neighbor. And Ravina's having some neighborly trouble with Runya. Runya refuses to pay. So, says the Gemara, Yom Echad, one day, Habakkuk gather Dikle, Runya was being, Megadar is the column. What is the gather? Megadar seems to be the language of picking his dates. Amar Leil Arise. So he says to his aris, who's he? Ravina. So Ravina says to his sharecropper, Zil Shkol Mine Kibura Da'ahini. Go get for me a Kibura Da'ahini. What's a Kibura Da'ahini? Rashi says, Eshkol Shol Tamar Mishol Runya Ubefanav. Go take a cluster of dates that belong to Runya, and make sure that he sees. Azal Asuye, so he went to go get them. Rama Bekala! And Runya starts yelling at him. Who do you think you are? What are you doing here, Rashi? Rama Bekala, Garba Runya, Barise de Ravina. Runya starts yelling at the sharecropper of Ravina. Amarle. So Ravina comes along and says, Golis Daitach de Menach Nichalach. You've made it clear that you are happy with the setup of having protection for your Dekalim because you care about them. Lo Yehelach Ella Iza Ba'alma, Milo Boyne Tirusa. Even if it was just an animal coming in, not a Ganav, don't you need some sort of protection? Don't you need some sort of protection? Right, Rashi. Amar le Ravina. Ravina says to Runya, "Golis adaitav shechavipin adikolim alacha. You like your dekalim, v'nichalach b'shmirasan, and therefore you are benefiting and enjoying the fact that I put up fences as a shmira. Lo yehei el izi be'amo milo boys. Tom afilo in chayar min aganavim. You'll say the chance of ganavim coming in is low, But tzarech atol l'shomer mino izam, you have to make sure that animals don't come in, at least for that. So amar lei, izi ba'ama lachluye baya. So if the izim come in, they're not going to you can just scare them away. But you need somebody to scare them away. Also the kame de Rava. So it comes to Rava. Once Rava intervene in this fight between the neighbors, between Runya and Ravina. Amrlei, he says to Runya, Zil paise b'may d'ifayis v'ilo danina lachdina k'ravhuna aliba d'rabiosi. Says, why don't you agree to the deal that he presented you, right? Ravina was willing, in the end at least, to just take the price that it would be for have the shomer there, which would be much less. Take that, and if you don't, then I am going to don you according to the most chamor opinion. According to Rav Huna, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. What a Gemara. Okay. What are the issues that stand out here? So number one, we got to figure out what is the halacha? Why do we need to figure out what the halacha is? Because obviously Ravina is only going to ask Runya for whatever he's entitled to, Aliba de Hilchasa. And then we need to figure out, on the flip side, what is Rava telling, what kind of threat is this? If you don't take this, I'm going to give you, I'm going to don you this way. Is that how Beis Din works? And what's the pshat with this trick that Runya pulled? Are you allowed to do this? That Ravina pulled? You're allowed to take somebody's thing in order to get your point across? Nothing in the sugya is pashut. Nothing in the sugya is pashut. Oh. So Rashi already began to point us in the right direction. Rashi told us that Ravina held at Meikar Hadin, that the halacha was like Rav Huna Aliba Derbiosi, that you have to pay for half of everything. So what that now means is Ravina is entitled to 50%. When Ravina comes back and offers, it makes a counter offer and says, you can pay me less, that is basically out of the goodness of Ravina's heart. Right? He's just trying to be a nice guy. And he's not willing to, I don't know, was the principle of the matter, or he just needed some of the money. He was not willing to be mochel 100%, not willing to be mochel completely. But he was willing to knock it down to the Demei HaShomer. So that's certainly how Ravina understood it. Now, where are these walls? So the simplest understanding is that these walls are probably the same place as the walls of the previous Mishnah. Otherwise, the discussion becomes moot. Which means that it's probably a machlokas rishonim as to where the walls are. And Rashi would tell you that the walls are between Ravina and Runya. And the Yad Rama and other people who were in his camp, and the Balamor, whoever all the opinions were, that said they were on the outside, the Tosfos, I'm sorry, Tosfos in Baba Kama. All those opinions that say that it was on between the Rishus HaRabim and between the Makif will still say that here as well. Right? Now it's interesting, the Yad Ramah, he works backwards a little bit. In a good way, right? I mean, he thinks that you can prove from our sugya that the walls are on the outside, and that helps understand the Mishnah before him, because again, they're trying to assume that it's consistent. What does the Yad Ramah say? So says the Yad Ramah, It's an interesting diyuk how he gets there. It's on page Samach Vav in this Kovitz. Ushma mina. After he lays out the sugi a little bit, you see from this diplukta derbiosi rabbanan begoder beino veinushus rabbi misukma. You see that the machlokas in the Mishnah, because again, it has to be that it's the same thing because we're referencing the halach of the Mishnah. So, whatever you're going to learn, the Mishnah is going to be how you're going to learn here as well. He says, you see from here that it must be that we're talking about the outer walls between Ravina and the Rishus HaRabim. How does he know that? Because they were talking about the middle walls. Wow. The Arama read our Gemara very, very carefully. And the Arama says, our Gemara is talking about a gina. How do you know that it's talking about a gina? Because we're talking about the fruit trees. The fruit trees, the dekel, those grow in the gina. Those don't grow in a stelavon. Those don't grow in the field the same way that the wheat does. So must be we're talking about a gina. Whoa! If we're talking about a gina, so then we have an issue, right? Because now we know that a gina, even if there's no minhag to build walls for Hezekiah, there's automatically a chiyuv to build walls for Hezekiah, right? That's what we learned on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, based on the Mishnah Daf Beis. So says the Yarama, Mechte Ma'aseh Dinu Beginya Hava Mida Amar Lizlas Lekibur Dehinim Dirunya. We have to be talking about something different. Because if we were talking about the walls, and again, this gets a little bit to some of the arguments that we looked into and we reflected on as we looked at the Mishnah the first time, which was the strength and weakness of the various opinions that were given. It says the Arama, if we're talking about the fence between them, might as well just get this up so we know what we all know what we're talking about here. Right, so Runya is here and Ravina is everywhere else. Ravina's everywhere else. So if we're talking about these walls, says the Yadarma, I don't understand the whole Gemara. The Gemara makes no sense. Why is the Gemara make no sense? Because the whole premise of Beis Amud Aleph, of the Mishnah, is that you can force the building of walls. So if one person wants, and one person doesn't want, that's exactly where the Mishnah comes in and says that you have to build Kiminagamako, and you have to split it. So there shouldn't be any discussion whatsoever if we're talking about these walls. Elamai, we're talking about the outer walls. Must be we're talking about the outer walls. Again, because he's assuming that we are talking about a gina. Again, I don't know enough about the agriculture and where they grew things. You know, we do have fruit orchards that are in fields. So again, I don't know if those that would disagree with the Yadarma would not be troubled by this diuk and say, who says they're talking about a gina here? Who says they're talking about a gina here? And again, because it's only according to the Baal Amor, would be fine with it, because the Baal Amor wanted to make it a Makom Shenagu Livdor anyway. Right, even when it was a bika, the Baal Amor wanted to say that. But everybody else was assuming that we're talking about the case of the Zalmiyuk, might just learn that it's a very nice assumption that we're talking about a gina. He's quite confident about it. But who says? Who says we're really talking about a gina? But again, I think it shows deeper the logic of the Yadarma. The Yadarma was very convinced about this, and therefore, again, this is how he learns the walls before, even in the Mishnah. Good? Good. Let's, once we have the Kovitz open, let's look at the Ritva, because the Ritva is very troubled by the prank or trick that Ravina was trying to pull on Runya. Well, what's going on with this? Says the Ritva on the previous page in Samachai. V'im toy mar ha'arinan lo signovu aminas l'megadu aminas l'shalem. Oh, he wasn't just troubled with his stam, it doesn't seem so nice. He says it's aser. Says the Gemara of Mesia, lo tignovu in the plural, teaches that there are multiple types of geneva that are forbidden. Not just outright geneva, normally genevas I'm not planning on paying. But even if I take something to bother you, I steal your, your Gemara, and then you come in and say, I'm planning on giving it back to you. That's usher. Or almanas l'shalem. I am planning on paying you. I just want your thing. I'll give you the money for it, but I don't want to trouble myself having to go to the store to purchase whatever that thing is. So I am going to take yours. Those are usher. So the ora, this should fit into one of those categories, right? If he was planning on paying for it, again, it seems pashut that Ravina wasn't planning on that Ravina was not planning on stealing it, right? It was not going to. He's not interested in stealing from Runya. He's trying to get a point across. So and that's the story probably played out exactly how he wanted it to, other than the fact that Runya didn't pay. But right, in terms of getting his message across, this is exactly what Ravina was trying to do. So, isn't it usher? How can Ravina do this? Strong kasha. The Yesh Lomar. That's why it gives two answers. Answer number one, the Yesh Lomar de Peros Elu Hayu Omden Li Macher Udmeyen Hayu Ktsuvin. Answer number one, says the Ritva, is that these fruits were being prepared to sell. And they had a set price. So let's say, $4 for a cluster of dates. And he had every intention, if the guy actually took the dates, to pay for them. And in that case, you're allowed to take them and pay the money. Why was he doing it? He was trying to do it, if he wanted to really want the dates, why? He was trying to get the... trying to get his point across. Inami, alternatively. If you're not doing it to be mitzar the person, but to bring out his din, then it is mutter. So what's the difference in the first answer and the second answer? And why did he even need to bring two? So l'chora, right? The first, I don't know if I understand them, but l'chora, the first answer only helps explain the amenas l'shalem. Right, Tosos, the Gemara over there that the Ritva asks from, which says that lo signovu comes to include when you're trying to cause other person pain, or when you're trying to, you're planning on paying for it. The first one really only answers the first one. Right, it's amanas l'shalem. Why is it mutter in this case? Because apparently the problem in the case of amanas l'shalem is that maybe I don't want to give this up. Right, why is it usher to take your thing if I give you the money? So the answer is because I don't want to give up the item. I want the item. I don't want the money. There are times when the items are important. I don't want to be bothered. But that's not the case here. Right? If there's a set price and they're omdin li macher, So you do want the money. You do want to get rid of it. So what am I doing? It's really that's really wrong. So that takes care of the fact that if he would have taken them, but the fact that he was doing it on Manas Lemekat, why are you not allowed to do it on his Amanas Lemekat? I'm giving it back. That seems to be a different problem. That seems to be a problem of I'm not allowed to cause you pain. And apparently, taking your item in this way is, even temporarily, is considered to be under low sigdoh. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but it was not a nice thing to do. But taking your item, even temporarily, is considered to be usher as well. So what's the second answer saying then? The second answer, Ritzvot says, if I'm taking it, and I'm trying to be motzi your din, not to cause you pain, then it is mutter. Why should that be? It seems that if I am taking it in order to help you, then this extra then it's not considered to be being mitzayir. If it's not considered to be being mitzayir, so what's the problem? I'm not taking it permanently. You're not going to lose. You're not losing the item. So if I'm doing it for your benefit, then it sounds like it's mutter. So does that take care? And if that's the case, then you don't have either problem. Wait, one second. But you don't have either problem because you're not. It's not a menas l'shalem because I'm giving it back. And it's not a menas l'mekat. It's not al menas l'mekat because I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. And apparently, that by definition, gneva means that I'm doing something that benefits me. It does benefit Ravina to get the money, but it benefits Ravina to do what's right. I mean, that's what the halacha is. So I think that's what the Ritva is trying to say. And again, he seems to go with the second answer, because the second answer takes care of both. The first answer doesn't necessarily take care of both of the problems. It just takes care of the fact that we actually took them. You know, what's he going to look or still a violation of Lo Signovo? Yeah.
For that small amount of time that you're still, like, he doesn't know you're going to give it back. So for that small amount of time, you're still hurting him in his mind, even though you have a whole plan.
Correct. That's the chiddush. Right. I think that's the movement between the kasha and the teretz. Right. In the kasha, we're assuming that as long as you're taking this thing, and in his mind, it's legneva, and that's going to be aser. The chiddush of Ravina is that no, if I'm doing it for his benefit, then the fact that I took it isn't gneiva.
Even though that.
Yeah, even though I took it.
Even though
again, the whole thing is a bit of a. I don't know. If you didn't have a Gemara telling you that taking something temporarily is considered to be an issue of gneiva, would you have assumed that it's gneiva? It's obviously not the same exact category. That's why we need a riboy. It's a chiddush that it's gneiva.
No matter what, if you're taking it for a small amount of time forever, he still thinks you're taking them until you.
Right. Right. So why is that usher? Apparently that's only usher if you're taking it, if you're not planning on keeping it and you're going to return it. The only reason that it's usher is because when you're taking it, you're being mitzayir. So what the Ritva seems to be saying is that when I'm taking it, I'm helping him, then that's okay. Then that's okay. Again, obviously that you could, you know, people could use that to justify a whole lot of inappropriate conduct. So, you know, you got to be a ravina before you start trying to apply it. Good. Oh. Well, what's the shakla b'targa of the Gemara over here? What's the shakla b'targa of the Gemara here? So the Bach really goes through the entire Gemara, and I think just beautifully brings out the what the back and forth is. And in the end, getting us to the last point, which in terms of the halacha, how we paskin in this Gemara, of what Rava was saying when Rava was, again, not that it doesn't seem like, or I don't know, was he threatening, and what exactly was Rava trying to get out? So it says the Says the tour, like the Bach, like this. Okay, which is an interesting question, right? So let's look. He's going to explain it in the beginning of the Gemara, but let's look at it from Rava's perspective for a second. So Rava, the Shaila comes before Rava, and Rava says, take the deal that he offered you. Otherwise, I'm going to knock you up for the higher amount. Yeah. Well, what exactly was he trying to say? If it's coming for a din Torah, does he have the right to say take the lower amount? How does that work? So Kosev Arivash, the Rivash writes, the aim of dayan lipso yosir masha tava hatoveya, that a dayan is not allowed to paskin for a plaintiff more than the plaintiff asks for. So meaning, if the dayan makes his cheshbon and it comes out that the guy owes him $1 million, but the tevia was only for $500,000, and the dayan is not to paskin that he owes him more than $500,000. And on a MS level, it seems a little bit strange. Why should that be? Umevia Beis Yosef b'Simen Chafei, the Beis Yosef brings it in Simen Chafei. Tarav Baal Hagos Shulchan Aruch. Hevi Raya, they bring a Raya, Me'uvdo de Runya. They bring a Raya from Runya. Perakam de Baba Asra Vanochi Afarish Raya. So I'm going to explain how the Runya story reflects this reality. And again, it's a fascinating yesod in terms of the Dayan's perspective. Isa Hasam, it says in our Gemara, Runya, after Ravina Mabar Rechosa, that Runya surrounded Runya on all sides. Amalei Abikama de Gadre. He said, pay me, Ravina says, pay me according to what I paid, half of it. Dehachi Abasvir Leila Ravina, Kiravuna Libidarosi Kidabirish Rashi. It has to be, right? The starting point of the Sugya, according to what the Bach tells us, is that Ravina held the halacha like Rav Huna Aliba the Rav Yossi, meaning you have to pay 50% of the total amount of money. How does he know that's the case? How could Ravina ask for more than he was entitled to? So it must be that the highest amount that Ravina is seeking is what he's entitled to, Aliba Al-Dalacha. And that's what he's asking for, right? Half of everything. Lo yoyle. He didn't give it to him. Because Sagadai did the Ravina, so what did Ravina thought? Did Tanya Mishum Hashem Alokha Kichia Barav? Why did Ravina knock it down? Ravina knocked it down because, right, Ravina thought that Runya holds to make Tanya Mizol. So meaning initially, he didn't think that Runya was just trying to deny it. He was just saying that Runya was saying, I don't have to pay you so much. Who told him that the halacha is like Rav Huna Liba Der Yossi? We have a very valid chikha that says that it should be according to Mekan and Mazol. So Ravina stopped that. He says, okay, I got you. You're not a bad guy, Runya. These like four lines back and forth. We're like, Mamash, a long shemachokas between Ravina and Runya. Don't know if we're going to defeat him again in Khan and Mazol. Chodor, Amalei Ravina, so Ravina says, Havu Fidim in Khan and Mazol. So therefore, so Ravina knocks it down. Right? Lo Yahiklai. He didn't give it to him. So Gosaka died to Ravina, so Ravina thought the time is in the Kamar, Lithi D. Sagli, Minitirus of Arzusa. Right? The third step was when he denies paying the first two, so Ravina thought that Runya holds, right, Agar Natirusa. So he said, okay, I get it. So I'll knock it down again. Because again, maybe you have a valid taina. Di have a kamar hachi. Lo yoyvei eg ela agar natira kedikasa rush. Fine. Hadar kamalei ravina have a agar natira. So he said, okay, fine. So at least pay me the demea shomer. And again, this changes your whole perspective. Because now it wasn't that Ravina was just being, you know, just wanted his money and was like, just give me something, and if the prince, it's not that at all. He wanted what he was entitled to halachically. But if Runyataka held, from wherever he knew it, that the halacha was different, so Ravina's going to work with him and knock it down to Agra Netirusa. So other family Ravina have the Agra Netira. So Yodlo Yahivle. The Kasavar, the Ravina, the time he should also on the Kamshayil Basoda, Lomnichole Bishri Rasan, Daf Kiru Mafkir Lahu. Ravina was Mamish Tzadik. So Ravina says, okay, maybe the reason that he doesn't think that he even has to pay Agar and Tirusa is because Runya was Mafkir the trees. He doesn't care about them at all. Maybe Adarava. Maybe he wants people to be able to come in. Maybe he wants Anim to come in. Maybe he's got a Dekel Gemach. And everyone wants to come in, you come in. So Ravina's like, okay, let's, I just want to figure out what I'm entitled to the halacha. But if Runya is Machir, I get it. And then it's on me. So Yom Echad, have a Runya go there tomorrow, Dekel Shebesadeyo. So then he sees Runya in the field. And now Ravina's getting a little bit suspicious because if Runya's it's all hefker and he doesn't really care about it so much, but he's hanging out in the field and Runya's doing this, so now Ravina wants to figure out what's going on here. So I'm there, Ravina Larisa, Zilshko mina Eshkol Tamar. Go take an Eshkol of the Tamar. Now, the Chafta of God, this is what he said. The Bach just answered, again, in a way, he just answered the Ritva's question also. Meaning, when Ravina was sending the Aris in to take from Runya, he wasn't intending to steal from it. Meaning, in his mind, in Ravina's mind, the justification for Runya not paying was that he was probably Mafker, in which case he was Mafker, so then go take from the Hefker. Take from the Hefker. Why not? So when we exist, so now, right, he sees that Runya is there, right, he sends the Aris. He sends the Aris in. Also Asuye, then he went to go take Ramabe Runya Kala. And Runya starts yelling at him. Whoa! That changes not all of this. But it certainly changes number four. Right? Runya was not mafkir the trees and can't claim that he doesn't want any shmira if he's yelling at the aris. He's yelling at the aris. So Amalei Ravina galis adaitach demeinach nichalach b'shmirasam. Clearly you want some sort of shmira. And now he says, now I have a valid taina. Because at least you should have to pay me this. Because I know this much. Again, you might hold that this is what the halacha is, but this much you can't claim lower than this you are entitled to. I tried to be down the kavzuchus. I tried to give you the benefit of the doubt. But now it's clear that now that I sent the aris in and you're yelling at him, obviously you want it. So asa lekanei de Rava. So he comes in front of Rava. Amalei Rava lerunya. So Rava says lerunya. Zil paise b'maydei fayes bagar netira. Go pay with the appease him with the amount that he, of the shomer that he was willing to take. Hope and israt sabagathins he's willing to. V'ilo da'anina lavdina k'rafun al yibad Rabbi Yossi. And if not, if you're not willing to pay this, he says, then I'm going to do it like this. Meaning, again, he's going to explain a little bit more, but what it seems to be is that if Ravina was willing to tell you, like, if you want a taina like this shita, I'll take it from you, that's fine. But Rava also understood, like Ravina, that this is the halacha. That this is the halacha. And therefore, if you're not going to, you know, appease him with what he's willing to be satisfied with, then it's going to revert back to number one. Now it must be that we have to explain When Runya came in front of Rava, when Ravina came with Runya in front of Rava, what did Ravina taina? What did he want? So it must be that lo shal mimeno elo bistam sheitin lo agar netira. Shim lo kein elo yatov and if they rabba dinan gielo kiman degadar ukravunja vadagavase elo demavatar kenegdo ina shoa el agar netira king maikama rabba vilo dalina lo abdina kravuna. Says, what did Ravina ask for? If Ravina asked for what he was titled to lehalacha, then that's what Rava should have done. So obviously that's not what Ravina asked for. Now, if Ravina only asked for Agar Natira, asked for nothing else, then what right does Rava have to up it to it and threaten him with this? Ravina only asked for number three, for Agar Natira. So he suggests you gotta like kind of have this middle category. That it must be that what Ravina asked for. He just said, give me Agar Natira. He didn't tell him how he should judge him. He didn't say it in a way that he was only claiming, okay, so give me Agar Natira and ask Rava to intervene. Because that gives Rava the flexibility. Otherwise, very difficult to understand what Rava did. Right? Because if he was Mavatar completely and he only was claiming, he says, I only want Agar Natira, then Rava loses claim. Makama Rava, Vilo Danila Dina Grafuna, Demabagashi Dina Grafuna, Makamabra Vilo Gavisha. He's not taking it! It's all he wants! All he wants is the Agar Natira. Moshe Torah made it fairish, Bakar Tsarfal, Mimma said, Dayatobo Bistam, she did Agar Natira. All he was after was Agar Natira. The Kasata, Dai De De Rava. Oh. Now the game of psychology flips. Now Rava has to figure out what was Ravina thinking. What was Ravina thinking? So Rava thought, Shalohaya Yodei Ravina, Dehilchasaki Ravuna. Oh, wait. Ravina says, you asked for Agar Natira. Why did you ask only for Agar Natira? Because, oh, you thought that was the halacha. And Ravina didn't know that the halacha was like Ravuna. He didn't know that the halacha was like Ravuna. And therefore, so Rava said, "Ilo da dina lav dina ve'ilo," and if not, "da dina lav dina kiravuna." Klomar, de la agar she'etzel gadin shuv lo yispayis Ravina v'patlos. Says, "I'm going to pass in the ikar hadin, not just what he asked for." And once that's true, then Ravina's not going to go for less. Take advantage of it right now. This is all he's asking for, and I'm willing to enforce that. But if you make me paskin, then I'm going to paskin like this. And once I paskin like this, he's not going to settle for this. He probably just didn't realize that that's what the halacha was. Oh. What is all of this, besides being just being a beautiful reading of our Gemara, what does it have to do with the bigger picture? So again, what was the Bach coming to explain? He was coming to explain the Rivash. What did the Rivash? The Rivash was done with, what does the Dayan do in a situation in which he knows that the halacha entitles the plaintiff to more, but the plaintiff only asks for less? Does he intervene on his behalf? So now the Bach ties it together. Bahash Takasha, I have a problem. Dilfi Mashatel Shel Rava. Rava Lashitasa. That if Rava Taka held it to Ravina Bidin, that Ravina didn't know the halacha. He made a mistake. He knew that there were, you know, several opinions, and he thought the halacha was like Tumei Agar Natira. And my comment is a Paisa, my defiance. How long is it going to be Dilfi Mashagada? Dilfi Ravina Gravuna. Why didn't he tell Ravina? Ravina, you're making a mistake. You're entitled to more. Again, Lishitosa, the Bach understands it, that that Rava thought that Ravina was making a mistake. Why didn't he stand up for Ravina's rights and tell Ravina, you can get more out of him? Why are you settling for less?
It must be. At the Balkar Kaka, we have a rule that emerges here.
The Ain Lo Ladayan Lipso Yosef Mashatava.
That the Dayan should not pass him more than the claim. Elo Shimai Nasare, Shalom Lafayas, Rabina Bimagnifayas, Hayakonso Lishalo Komasha Yilo Medina. So if that's the case, right, if the case is, if the fact is that we're proving from this that you're not, that, and Rava held, you know, let us seek out more than the person asked for, so then why is it that Rava said this in the end? What right does Rava have to say that I'm going to dine like Ravina? So the Baal says either a dying, when necessary, is allowed to attach a punishment. It was a knas. It was a penalty. Again, it's not a penalty which goes beyond what the halacha is, but this nuance, which is an interesting one, we still have to understand it. Why should it be true? And why is the dayan not looking for whatever the rights are? Is it just that he assumes that there is a mechila? Or is it more than that? So, if you're not going to pay, then what Rava is saying is that I'm going to constrain you on my own, according to what you are required, Meikar Hadin. Inami Bhua Ikar. Or, and this is what the Bafim of Pshat is, Dela Hafchido Haya Omerka. The Shaimo Akol Neifayas Osa Vagar Natira Kimosha Tobu says that it was an empty threat. It was an empty threat. He never would have done it. Not because that what halacha is, to be mezayif the Torah and say that the halacha is different, I don't know that Rava would go there. But the Maisa, Rava knew that the halacha allowed for X. He's not going to do it because we have this rule, which again, is a little bit hard to understand, that the dayan is not here to do more than what the plaintiff has asked him to do. But if I need to threaten by using the Ikar HaDin, I'm able to do that. It's against Tosfos. We didn't see the Tosfos. Maybe somebody did Tosfos on our page. Masha Pirshua Tosfos. Dishalol Afkidoy Amarkach. Wasn't doing it to scare him. Haidu Lomar. All he's saying is Sh'ein the Farish Afkidoy Amarkach. Ve'inkach Halacha. All Tosfos is trying. Tosfos is trying to say here that it's not just a threat. A threat, which again is a Ziyuf HaTorah, making up a Halacha, that he's not going to do. That he's not going to do. But to threaten and say, since the halacha really is this way, that's a threat that he's willing. Nothing bad will come of such a threat. Zo nearly raya berura ve'in the fakbekalel. The Bach speaks with confidence. The Bach says, this is the pshat. It is an unbelievable pshat, the way of reading our Gemara. And again, it gives a whole new color to how Ravina looked at Runya, and how Rava looked at Ravina. Meaning each was trying to figure out what the other one really held the halacha. Held the halacha. But this interesting rule follows, which is that, again, you're not going to be allowed to, the dayan is not going to try to get more than the person himself tries to get. So it says the Ramah in Siman Yitzayin in Shulchan Aruch, in the little letters. Baldin Shetova Chavero Ba'adovar Muat. A Baldin who tries to get a small amount. Vadayin Roa Sheyischayu Lapidin Yosem HaShetova. The Dayin sees that he's entitled to more. Ein Lo the Dayin Lifso Yosem HaShetova.
Mimasha Tava. He can't ask for, he can't push for anything more. Vimpasak lo yoser, have a toos bedin v'chozer. Wow. So the Ramah bought into, completely bought into what the Bach said, and then some. And then some. Right? He's willing to say that based on this, that you would actually, the Din Torah would go back. The Din Torah would go back. How far does that go? How far does that go? So that is a tumult in this long shach over here. I have parts of it underlined, but not from now. It's old underlines. I don't know if they helped at all, but the shach makes 2 points. The shach makes 2 points. 1 point is in terms of the toos in Yud Zayin. He says, if you haven't acted on it yet. This is just an interesting rule, again, and it has a little bit to do with Hotza'as Mamon, like we've spoken about before. And if you're not, the psak being chozer means the psak is chozer if you didn't implement it yet. But if it was already implemented, you would not go back. It would not go back. It would not go back. Again, that helps a little bit. That helps a little bit. But he makes one other point. And the other point that he makes is that if the Dayan sees that the person made a mistake, and doesn't know what the halacha is, that's not what we're talking about. And again, if you understand the Runya Ravina Sugya, which again is in the little letters over here, that's what the source of the Ramah seems to be. Everybody here assumed that everybody knew what was going on. He was just, in a certain sense, being mevater. Even when Rava wasn't sure. Then, if you're not sure, you're not going to claim more. But what if he knows? You know, the guy doesn't know anything. The guy's an Amaret. The guy is clear, explains how he came to his. Then he's losing out. Why should that be? So in that case, the Shach says that the Ramah would not apply, and there the Dayan would be able to intervene. So again, and I think that helps balance out this halach a little bit. Meaning, the role of the Dayan is twofold. On the one end, it's to get to the emes. It's to get to the emes in the proper psak. And that is true in the stam case, if they don't know. But there's another role of the dayan, which again is probably part of why, in general, the dayan try to paskin for pshara, not for ikar. Then they try to sort of compromise, which is also to sort of restore shalom. And therefore, if it seems to be that the guy is willing to be mevater, it's not helpful, in that sense, for the dayan to intervene and say, okay, you're entitled to a lot more than that. The dayan's almost stoking the flames. That's not the role of the dayan. So again, for the dayan to do it on his own, against the toveya, so then he has to say that I'm offering you pshara. And there is a value to it. There's a simon shachar about that. How pshara should be done. But if he's claiming that he's doing the din, so then as long as it's what the person asked for, so then he can say, okay, that's what the halakha is, that's what you asked for. But if the guy, Mamish, has no idea what he's talking about, so it's a little harder to say that. So there, in that case, the dayan would be able to push it up. Is he obligated to? That might depend on this overall pshara question. But again, I think what you see, which I get just the Bach is just so enlightening, in terms of how to read the sugya in a way that doesn't make it anymore. It's not a petty fight between Ravina and Runya, but it's really trying to figure out what the halacha is and then how the halacha should be implemented. And again, in the end, it culminates with this interesting halacha, which again is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that a dayan is not, in a normal circumstance, going to be allowed to push for more than the toveya actually asks for. Okay, so tomorrow, Meretz Hashem, we'll see the next little story of Runya, which brings us to a whole different halacha, but again, also a very interesting one.